Talk Show. It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 469.
It's weekend bands
out.
Yeah, clapping again.
We've got Queen Gronk back in the building, Gemma Watts and Peter Shepherd.
Tall Gronk.
Tall Gronk.
We're still running that.
That upsets me. Hey,
unless you somehow get short, you're always going to be tall Gronk.
Always tall Gronk.
He did a whole TEDx talk about having to deal with being a tall guy.
It was very on brand.
It was. I have to lean into it, right?
Can we talk about that?
Sure.
That was amazing.
It was very good.
Yeah, it was.
So the Gronk squad went to support Peter Shepherd. I mean, if we had all of the Gronk squad there, that we would have filled the whole venue, to be honest. But, mate, you smashed it. This is what I didn't know about the TEDx stuff. So you go to TED, right? You see these videos. You see Brene Brown. That's where she did her first talk that sort of shot her up.
Wow.
I was going to say trajectory.
Yeah.
You still
shot her into a good
stratosphere,
yeah,
which that got so many views.
Is this a TED talk?
And then they what I worked out from this event, because I didn't know, was that they license out TEDx to all these people, also universities and things around the globe, and then they get all these helpers to come and put on these events. So there's like a real investment into putting on a TEDx event. You don't do it because you want to make cash. You do it because you want to spread ideas. And so
I think, Pete, your microphone's very close to your nose, so I'm getting a fair bit of breathing.
That's just me breathing. Yeah, sorry, guys.
That was literally, every time he took a breath.
Yeah.
So I just thought,
I'm working on my nose breathing. So
it's great breathing.
And so there's one thing about the TED brand is it's super strong. And I've seen a few people that have really led with it. As soon as they've done it, it's like, front and center, business card, LinkedIn. Yeah. There's one guy in particular, I watched his talk and it was great. So it's almost, I mean, your talk was great, so put it in your LinkedIn and your business card.
I'll add it to my LinkedIn.
So how do you get the call up to do a TEDx talk?
It's a good question. It was, I think from memory, either I reached out or they reached out to me and said, we're running this event. There's an application process. So you have to pitch your idea, submit a form and an application, and then you have like a phone interview essentially because to your point, TED are super protective of their brand. So those running the event, those running TEDx have to present it in a certain way. They have to have people that they've vetoed, they have to have ideas that are interesting, and then they have to run the events in a way that is in alignment with the TED brand. So it was sort of a pretty exhaustive process to go through, but ultimately I was asked to be on the stage eventually and it was fun.
Shortlisted. And so you get, what's that phone interview like? Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to
Ted.
Yeah.
Do they know that you don't take phone calls?
There's this guy called Ted.
Phone anxiety.
Yeah.
It was tough. It was really, anxiety inducing. But it was a 20 minute phone call. It was like, tell us about your idea and have you spoken about it before and have you done much public speaking and like, what does it mean to you to speak at TED and that kind of thing.
Aussies? Or Americans?
Yeah, they were the organisers that ran the Uni Melbourne event. So they would have been there on the day.
Mm. What was your take, Gemma, on the TED Talk?
I loved it. I stayed for the whole day.
Did you?
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, I watched yours, Pete, and I left.
I mean, it was handy that it was first, so you could do that, right?
I was so lucky.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't seen my son and my wife.
Yeah.
I mean, I was thrilled that you guys were even there. It was crazy.
And it was old mate's birthday.
Yeah, it was my birthday.
Oh, it was your birthday?
Yes. And we had cookies. Like, we were the only ones that were eating.
Yeah, and
in
you
that.
Left your rubbish behind.
Well, no, I actually left cookies behind.
Gronk move.
Hmm. To be clear, it was a bit of a bystander thing because who brought the cookies?
No, I brought the cookies and I left first and I was like, here's the cookies, guys. I'm going to go because I don't need them. You guys are staying. You could eat the cookies. Oh, yeah. And so then you left them. What, did you just leave them on the seat?
No, I left them
on the
for
ground.
Gemma.
No, you didn't because I'd already said I didn't want the cookies.
No, I
didn't get any cookies and I was the one that did the talk.
I moved seats. I went front center after you.
Really?
I mean, yes.
There's always Mason to blame it on. He was there.
That was definitely.
Did you leave the cookies, Mr. 97?
No, absolutely not.
Anyway, it was very. What does TED stand for? Do we know?
Technology, entertainment, and design, I believe.
No pressure.
Where did you fit into?
Good question. I have no idea.
There's some imposter syndrome there.
Is that true? Mr. 97?
Oh, well, if it is.
Technology, entertainment and design.
I mean, I didn't know that was a thing. It was an acronym. I guess they've just buried that because it's any brand. Like you lead with the thing, we're going to talk about technology, entertainment, design. Mm. And then you're like, this
broad.
Is a bit bigger than we thought.
Yeah.
Kentucky Fried Chicken, they do more than chicken.
More than KFC.
They do chips. what was your favourite talk there, Jem?
Obviously.
Outside of Pete.
Oh, I liked all of them. I liked that girl that was talking about sex. That was really good. Mm-hmm. And they're also the founder of Connor's Run. She was amazing. They were all amazing. Mm-hmm. But I liked the sex one. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, what stood out? I mean, you just she was line.
She was great.
Sex. Yeah, she was great.
What does that mean, though? What is it like? If
someone was you not there? Oh, that's right.
I left. Yeah.
Well, sex is just as much about periods as it is about sex, which was the new thing. Mm. Like she was talking about all sexual health in general.
Okay. Sexual health.
Yeah. So normalizing the conversation, basically. We should talk more about the things that surround sex because it's the one thing that's universal and it's like often tabooed. Like talking about the fact that 50% of the population in the world have a period once a month. Mm-hmm. Like we don't talk about it. Mm. That was sort of the premise, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
There was someone who did a sketch of your tour.
Oh, that was amazing.
Phenomenal. Oh, you mean like a drawing, not like a spoof.
No, it was like a little cartoon.
Like a doodle.
It was amazing. You should get that printed, put it up on the wall.
She did it during the talk. I thought she
all Josh
have, like,
and I did was eat cookies. Yeah.
I thought she must have taken notes and like gone home.
Yeah.
But oh my God. Imagine being good at something.
Well, I always, when I see those things, the story I tell is one day I'll have an iPad Pro and I will do that.
And you do it on the iPad.
Yeah. But, but until then.
Keep us posted. This was one day you were going to write a book.
Sounds really bad. But there's actually there's a whole industry or a career of doing this where conferences will hire people to go to the front of the room.
Yeah.
And they sketch out the whole idea. And so by the end of each talk, they have full like big infographics.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm. What I loved about your talk was that it the end connected to the start and you threaded it all through. Mm. And I thought it was really clever. Thanks. And I liked your dance move where you sort of got into it.
Did I do that or was that in my head?
No, you did it.
I don't remember that bit.
I sort of blacked out at one point and I was like, I don't really know what I'm
doing.
Oh,
that's right. The step.
Two step.
And then I put it out on Instagram with the song Two Step.
I enjoyed that.
Can you do it a two step? Anyway.
Clever.
It's big on TikTok.
So first TED talk. Mm-hmm. I know you've talked quite a bit publicly. Mm. How do you go into actually framing it and prepping it?
Yeah, it was interesting. Like the whole experience was really interesting because it's very – what I found is it's very different to a 45-minute keynote, which I've done a few of before, where you have literally 45 minutes and a Q&A at the end, usually a 15-minute Q&A, whereas TED is so dialed in that it's like you've got between 10 to 15 minutes. And the idea – the research that I did – I was basically under the impression that a really good TED talk you can summarize in one sentence. And so how do I create a TED talk that's based around one sentence but goes for 12 to 13 minutes? And then the other idea that I lent into, which someone said to me, was it's almost like every line has to be tweetable. Like every line you have to see and stand, it has to stand alone on its own.
That's why you're saying hashtag so many times.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. Human Periscope on Twitter, everybody.
Formerly 2 meter Twitter, which I think is the best thing I've ever heard.
You actually changed, you changed your name after being on our show.
I did. It was actually under your guidance, I think, maybe. You sort of.
A bit of a rebrand.
Yeah, helped me through the rebrand. So I was 2 meter Peter / 2 meter Tweeter when I started my daily talk show journey. And I sit before you, Human Periscope.
Which I think is... I think
Tall Gronk.
Tall Gronk, yeah.
Depending on who you ask.
Well, you had the humanperiscope.com or whatever the brand. I was just
it's better for SEO.
Yeah, let's just sort of synthesize the whole thing. Yeah.
And then what about the memorizing of something?
So that was kind of new to me, honestly, in the sense that if I do a 45-minute keynote, it's not like memorized word for word. I have like talking points that I know I'm going to hit and stories that I know I want to tell. But it's kind of, and Craig Harper's talked about this on this podcast, it's kind of fluid in the sense that you see the room, you realize they're connecting to a certain topic or an idea. And so
it's just a drag race out in the front.
Yeah, it's fine. It's me breathing again. And then you take the story down there. But whereas a TED talk, it was essentially a script. And I almost reversed engineered it where you get a TED coach. They give you a speaking coach that helps you out. And she said, can you send me the script for your talk? And I was like, I don't have one. So I did like a 12-minute riff essentially, which I'd done before on this idea of imposter syndrome. And then I put it through a transcription software and I sent it to her.
Did you at least clean it up or did you allow it?
I cleaned it up a little bit, and then sent it to her. And she was like, this is great. Add to this, build on that. So that was kind of how I started it. So I still started with a riff, but it gave me a transcript. And then I kind of worked off that. And the trick that I had, which I used to do way back when, was I put key talking points in the shower. Like in a plastic sleeve and hung it up in the shower. So every time I was in the shower, I just read through the talking points and sort of tried to just ingrain it in my head.
Plastic sleeve, like one of the ones that you'd get in like a binder or whatever.
Yeah.
Did you like
tape water, it was my waterproofing.
Did you tape it up the top?
No, so I just put it high enough so the water couldn't quite get in.
Okay. Oh, he's tall enough.
Yeah. Makes sense.
I mean, the talking thing's interesting because there's different types of speaking. There's that type of speaking. Then there's the stuff that you do, Jem, a lot, which is the emceeing, facilitating an event or whatever.
I'm very good at it.
Yeah. Well, it's a different but it's a different skill. Tommy and I are doing a Nandos event next week.
Nice.
Well,
basically they said, "Hey, Tommy, do you want to do it?" And he said, "Only if my mate Josh does it too."
And what so a honey.
Someone's going to carry the load.
And and so you know, they've.
Well, I'm glad it's not in the beauty space. If you were emceeing a beauty event, I'd be like, "I'm sorry, what?"
And so, I mean, emceeing a little bit of a different beast because they send you like, "This is the talking points." Here I am trying to think of Perry Perry jokes.
How are you going with the Perry Perry
Not
jokes?
Great.
Have you got any you want to try?
This would be a good time to do it.
No, it's just like I was thinking of.
I really want him to embarrass himself.
No, it's just like, who's excited to be here? Like, just pump up the
That's
audience.
That's not a joke.
Bit. It's not a joke.
That's housekeeping.
No, but
maybe this is time to get some. MC advice from the pro.
Yeah. What does it take to be a master of ceremonies at a Nando's event?
I mean, this is the issue. Whenever anyone asks me for advice, I'm like, I'm just naturally very good at it.
So then what do you do? How do you prepare?
Well, I think for me it was 18 years of being on stage.
Which I did a few productions, school productions.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay, so but then
Crocodile Rock sung the whole thing.
What's the process so to go into any – say you did Mecca.
Yeah.
In Mecca Land and you were hosting up on stage.
Well, I think the beauty of it for me is that everything I'm doing is beauty. So, like, I already know the brands and the bulk of the time I've got a relationship with who I'm interviewing.
So is that to say you don't do any prep?
Oh, no, I definitely do prep. But, like, to me, like, a lot of it is stuff that I've already got in my head.
Mm.
And so then
do you come up with jokes though?
No, I don't come up with jokes.
No jokes?
No.
Okay.
No, sometimes they just come to me.
What about things like interacting with the crowd? We're going to have a group of foodies, like food influencers.
You guys can come if you want, Gemma. I can get you a Linvite.
Fabulous.
And then you got me one.
She looks really cute.
What will I wear?
She'll be at Taco Bell.
Okay. It feels like such an obvious one. Is there like a audience questions at the end?
It's literally just
bring a bit of vibe, direct.
I don't even think there was any mention of vibe.
Oh, my favorite emceeing tip, which now doesn't apply, is when you throw it to the audience for questions, there's always going to be a silence. So have your own questions up your sleeve so you can be like, well, I'm going to kick things off.
Nice. Yeah, like that.
There's not going to be a Q&A.
That's good.
Okay. Well, then I have nothing for you.
We can do what we want.
Yeah.
I remember Jules Lund saying he is the guy that has to say the speech into his phone. This is probably back in the day to memorize and then play it back to himself, which was the advice he gave to me. So I'm thinking it was probably early days in his career, but that's how you memorize. And he needed the structure. He needed to know that he had it all worked out. Whereas
I do that.
There's a bunch of other people, which I think I've even worked out. So I find it hard to do all the prep. I get like a bit bogged down and a bit, you know, in my head. And then if I have a few things, a few dot points or something, I then can start enjoying the moment, start feeling the room. And, like, I think that's what
it's
you and I do.
I'm the opposite.
It's more like if you have to.
Yeah.
I called two mistakes I made in court announcing, called a guy named Jesus Jesus, which is an easy mistake based on spelling.
Yeah.
And the other one was I would do women's basketball and then a men's game.
Yeah.
And it was Stephen, but it was with the PH.
Oh,
and
no.
I just said Stephanie. Good laugh. But
poor Stephen.
It's really low level.
Yeah.
Poor Stephen.
Yeah, but it's
okay to read. It's okay just to look down at the name if you want to get
absolutely.
It right.
Absolutely.
And so do you think that you're more of a freestyle gal?
What I do is I will Yes.
He loves saying gal, though. We're trying to retire.
You both
that.
Called me double D when I walked in.
That was for the denim.
Josh did.
That was for the denim.
You did it.
Yeah, because I was making fun of Josh.
Okay, sure.
She's wearing double denim, everyone.
She's wearing double denim.
Yeah, they're just a regular D. So my my prep is to do a whole script and, like, thorough, read it a couple of times, have it in front of me, but then I won't look at it. But it's just, like, nice to know that it's there.
Mm.
But I think for me, writing it, like I'm just very visual. So if I've looked at a whole script, mm-hmm. again, it's theatre. Like I look at the script and then I'm like, okay, I have an understanding of what I need to say.
Mm. I think I'm more with you. And I almost think of it as improv, which is like you have a few ideas and you might have a partner, which, you know, good improv does, and you kind of just build off each other and just kind of free flow. That's how I think of my work a lot of the time. Is coaching is about improv, is speaking is about improv, is about reacting and asking questions. And I think naturally you two are probably practicing emceeing by interviewing people on this podcast.
Definitely.
Like every single day.
Which is freestyle because we don't really follow.
Well, it's trying to work out though what character you're playing. Like are you playing a sort of fun version? Because we can have serious conversations and ask serious questions.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that wouldn't fly necessarily for a Nando's event. But maybe also being super silly.
I get a bit of that.
Like do I... Like I straight away go to chicken costume.
That's
like,
where my head went too.
Yeah. If like just trying to hold a microphone and Tommy actually has to hold the mic for me because
you've just got to read the room though, because like I'm doing an event next week that will be very, very serious, but then Mechaland, it's like a younger audience, so I could have fun with it.
Yeah. But then the MC, it's not. You, I mean, usually a good master of ceremonies is guiding the event.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's not about you.
Yeah.
It's, you're not meant as to walk away going, like how good was the chicken suit?
Yeah.
Could it be, what about this? As a first one, this is breaking the ice, but also housekeeping at the same time. Who here needs to go to the toilet right now?
No.
Hands
we're
up.
We're not doing that.
And then I say, because the toilets are over here.
Absolutely not.
Bit of interactive That's crowd.
Yeah. I hate it.
It's yeah. It's. Do you think it would get a chuckle or no?
Probably not.
No, no. You'd get a lot of confused people.
There's no punchline.
Yeah.
So. Well, the punchline is it's over there.
I mean, that's more of a fact.
Yeah.
So the other option I had was interaction wise.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's start. Like we're at Nando's. Let's talk bastings. Lemon and herb, who are you?
Oh, that's right. Better. I like that.
And then it's also, okay, can we get the extra hots? How many extra hots have we got?
Yeah, I love that.
Something like if you were to pull out some unusual facts about Nando's, that'd be kind of like just randomly. Yeah. He's just, this guy knows his shit.
Okay, favorite Nando stores. Who's like, I love Smith Street.
Yeah. Oh.
That sort of thing. That could be fun.
Or a name. Like Joe at Smith Street always gives me an extra sprinkle of the.
So I need to work out names.
Yeah.
I mean,
you just make them up.
I got asked.
There'll be a Joe, I'm sure.
I got asked to MC a friend's wedding, and I said no, because I wanted to enjoy it. I didn't want the pressure. I was just too busy with this shit.
If it was Ben Fordham, he would only go if it was MCing, which I respect.
But he's amazing at it.
Yeah, I heard that.
That interview was phenomenal. By the way, he's an absolute legend.
I love him.
He's an animal.
Yeah. They gave me a Ben Fordham bottle opener just before.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't get one of those.
So. Sorry.
Well, I gave my one. Tommy's got his still.
Oh, I've got a
stubby holder.
Stubby holder.
Nice. I mean, all of his stubbies.
I just keep
it for my soda water. And then this guy,
he said no.
This professional guy, said no. And then I went to the wedding, and this guy was so good.
This has been discussed on the show before. Yeah. They brought in a random.
Mate, I'm so glad I didn't do it because he was so professional.
Listens to the show. Really?
It was a real MC, just gathered the people.
Was it like, Mike Larkin?
Nah.
He does a fair bit of weddings.
He
tried to buy your parents' house.
Yeah, that was my first episode that conversation came up.
Bloody Mike.
And so, I feel like I'm getting more comfortable with those types of things because there's the reading the room, but there's also just having fun with it as well.
I think if people see you two having fun, then they'll naturally have
So I just need to make sure Tommy's having fun.
Yeah.
Because there's certain things that I think is funny, like when he asked me to move the bottle of water and I move it inch by inch.
Yeah.
That's a bit of shit.
You don't have siblings, but you know there's annoying friends. Yeah. You get it. Do you have siblings?
Older brother and sister, yeah.
Oh, you're one of three.
Would you punch on?
No, I was kind of the mediator. My brother and sister used to fight a little bit, or quite a lot actually, growing up. And I was like the mediator as the youngest.
You would coach
them through it.
What's the worst thing your brother or sister's done to you? You know, because it's throw a pan at your head. I don't know, steal your chocolate.
Hit my brother with a golf club.
My brother held me down, had my arms like this, so he can't, like he's on top of me, straddling me.
Really?
I'm like this. No, it gets worse, Pete. Holds my nose. So spits straight down the big loogie.
Oh, no.
Just a teenage loogie.
That's
straight into my mouth.
That's not okay.
That's that a, not okay. But what's the, like, I've had,
I
like.
I cannot imagine having siblings.
No, I don't have any of that, right? Well, we all got on pretty well, I think.
That's nice.
Compared to that. I love my bro. We get on great.
I literally had, like, my brother, I'm sure, like, on top of me saying, I'm going to fucking kill you, which is quite full on, isn't it?
It's all bullshit.
Yeah, like, I'm here. But, yeah, especially three boys.
Typewriter is the worst.
Yeah.
It's definitely, like, we had heads through walls.
Oh my God.
It actually doesn't take much to get a head through like a plaster wall, especially when beds are up against, when you're a kid, you'd have like your bed right up against the wall.
I was always in the middle of the
bed. Really? Hang on, what?
Yeah, what?
Why?
So it'd be like
bedside
off.
Tables on either
side. Oh my
side.
Goodness.
As a kid though, we just scared you'd fall off.
But also bedside.
Were you wearing a tiara from the age of 2?
Yes, and my dad used to make him go on all fours and like I would sit on his back and he would have to take me to bed and then tip me over onto the bed. And then I banged my head on the bedside table and that's my two front teeth.
Oh.
Came out. It's fine. They were loose.
Yeah. Oh, they were,
I got money for it.
They were the first ones. That were the first round.
Did you say $2, Pete?
Is that right? $2 per teeth.
We literally spoke about that on Thursday.
Oh.
Well, because Mr. 97 just yelled out, $2. And I was like, so is that the number?
Yeah.
Is there
bucks.
A.
I thought it was a dollar maybe early on.
Mine was $2.
Yeah.
I think mine was only child.
$5.
$25 per tooth. Molars, 45. Yeah.
Just a some sort of investment, an investment property.
I've got a new pet peeve, should take a leaf out of your book, Pete. It's being on the phone. So it's like speaking to a friend. I'll give you this example. Just on the phone to Amy, and we're having a chat. And I was like, oh, I've got a call coming through, and it's from a number I don't know.
Yeah,
but I've got to answer it. When you've got a business or you're. I think just having a business means that you might need to take a call.
I disagree.
That isn't yours.
Let me go to voicemail.
Well, I feel the same way, which is why only Tommy's number is on the website because it used to be mine. I had a number that I purposefully, like was a Skype number that I didn't check. And then we're like, well, if we're going to have a number, we should at least.
Yeah.
Probably. So my number's on there.
Yeah,
now.
So Tommy gets calls.
But the worst is when you stop a nice conversation and it's a fucking telemarketer.
Like that's not a new pet peeve.
No, but I just today.
It's
I just,
a new spin on the peeve.
No, but for me, it's like I was on the last straw.
You didn't talk to him, did you? You just hung up.
I hung up on him, which was annoying.
Yeah. Just let me go to voicemail.
But I just disrupted the moment. With me wife.
Yeah.
So what'd you do?
What a disaster! I hope you're able to find time for another moment.
No, but I mean, this is where there should be a rule. Do you have a rule of not answering?
No.
You don't.
See if I feel like it. I answer when Josh calls. I love a chat to Josh and Breezer.
Yeah,
we do enjoy that.
He called for one thing the other night, and like 45 minutes later, I'm like,
I was going through the sales deck. No, there is. I was saying
that. Yeah, we're chatting business.
I was saying to a mate just yesterday, I won't go to your birthday party. Like the other people and that sort of thing, but I'll always take a phone call,
which can
be annoying for like even. This morning walking in and I was talking to Nasan, my mate, and like it went for like 45 minutes once I was here sort of doing stuff. But I love AirPods in, just walking and talking. Yeah.
Oh, I sit down and have a chat. I love that.
That's, really? That's a luxury.
Phone to ear.
Phone to ear is
not You're a phone
good.
To ear gal. Mm.
Really?
Wow.
It's not great. I always feel.
I make up on everything, but that's fine.
Even if Bree has her phone near me, I feel like I can feel it. Mm. Anyone else have that? Especially if it's near the testicle area? I'm straight away
definitely.
No, but I can. I think that I don't know whether it's like a placebo sort of thing.
I know what you mean.
But sometimes I say, is your phone near me right now? And she'll just like, I could feel it.
There's also heat. Coming off it, but I know what you mean.
Sorry, I just heard someone yelling at
me. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. We're in Abbotsford.
Laptop on
lap,
you feel it.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like the radiation-y sort of feeling that it's
I
almost
it's
like
a similar one for
I
me.
I think I could almost feel if she was getting a text message if Vibrate was off. It's just on
is
the
this
extra.
Dick chat again? No, fucking time.
No, this is definitely not dick. Okay. There's a big difference between dicks and testicles.
Okay. It
seems a lot like
dangerously close. Yeah.
Every time.
Potentially. It is the Daily Talk Show.
Pete, you're flying to New York.
Mm-hmm.
fucking lucky.
Yeah, tomorrow.
It hasn't packed.
Have not packed, no. That's what this afternoon's for. I'll figure it out. And I am going to challenge myself to do carry-on only. No check-in.
Easy.
Easy, right?
That's definitely easy. I did it when I went to New York last.
Yeah, I mean, you just have you just have someone else that carries all your shit.
No, I had A7S. Like, I had it.
Really?
All my camera set up. Like, a bunch of stuff.
Shoes. It's so much better.
But shoes take up so much room.
What is it? It's hot at the moment. It's hot in New York.
Yeah, it's like 25 to 30 every day.
Yeah, I mean, you do wear the similar thing every time I see you.
So you just wear five of the same T-shirt, a few pairs of pants, a few pairs of shorts, and away you go.
Trying to get your double denim in. That's a full bag.
Yeah.
It's also, denim is heavy.
I'm not a good packer.
But like the mobility is just so appealing to me, where you're like, especially when you get to LA or you get to JFK, the airport, and you're just straight through and everyone's standing there looking miserable waiting for their luggage, and I'm just like, I'm already on the train.
New York, what are you doing there?
Working for a couple of weeks, so catching up with a bunch of
pretend I'm a customs agent.
A customs agent? Oh, if you're a customs agent, I'm here visiting friends.
What are you doing here? Good, good. Just trying to get your stories.
Here visiting friends, yeah.
Just getting your story straight.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you're not
which is also true.
You're not getting paid by any US company while you're there specifically. Yeah, no, you're fine.
Of course not.
See, Josh, he's also, you know, getting you on the right track.
No, it's good. This is good practice for next time I get asked that question.
When you go to the States, it is. Have you been, Gemma?
No.
They're pretty
strict.
One
of my girlfriends got deported recently.
Oh, really?
I can't go into it.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, you can't go into it.
It's something to do with modeling, I'm guessing.
What a drama.
No, why?
Well, it could be, say, the cocaine or modeling.
Or a model smuggling in cocaine. Very likely.
Why is that where everyone's mind's gone?
Well, you can't. They would
not all my friends are models.
They don't want two non-model friends.
You three.
Us three. Yeah. And Sam's four.
No, no, he's
a model.
No, you're right. Sorry.
Well, they ask, "What are you doing here?" Because they don't want people over there working without visas, which makes sense. But I mean, you stand out, and you just put a nice smile on. It's like, Aussie.
Yeah, the Australian guy.
Yeah.
I'm here to visit friends.
And so you're going over to visit friends.
Yeah.
And
which you can, to be clear, that you can, if you are working and not getting paid by a US company, and you are just like, you can go to conferences, you can do business meetings.
Yeah, which is what
you can. I've said that multiple times. I'm here for business or whatever.
If you fly into LA and you talk like the movie stuff, it's a bit different. Because like it's very, because you might be there trying to land a job.
Interesting, yeah.
So it's even worse. Like, I'm a musician.
Yeah.
All right. Why are you here? Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Where are you staying?
Where am I staying? I've got a few places. So I'm starting in a hotel, which is right near one of my friend's houses, where I'll be doing a lot of non-work related conversations. And then I'm house sitting for a friend for 10 days after that in Long Island City, which he's got this amazing apartment on the other side of the river that overlooks Manhattan. It's ridiculous.
Do they have any animals you have to look after?
No, plants. So his fiance is like, she's called the Broadway Botanist, and she's like,
wait, is that her Instagram account?
Yeah.
That's a good
Broadway
name.
Botanist.
Yeah, so the she's like next level in, you know, indoor plants and design of people's environments basically. And so her house, their apartment is covered. It's amazing, covered in all this greenery. So I have to look after all of that. So I'm a little bit nervous about that.
So that's the rule.
Yeah, the rule is you look after it. I'm giving them a bit of cash too, but not as much as the hotels in New York are so expensive.
It's ridiculous.
And the dollar. So, yeah, the dollar's shit.
The dollar is awful.
Broadway botanist.
Should be fun though.
And so have they set any other boundaries?
No, that's it as far as I know.
You sleep in their bed?
I'm having dinner with them like two nights before, so I'm sure I'll get the ground rules there. But as far as I know, it's keeping the plants alive essentially. Feels like a bit of pressure.
And are you hanging out with Seth Godin?
I'm going to probably spend some time up with Seth at Hastings, yeah.
And you're also catching up with Brad Blanks.
HQ, catching up with Brad next week. Yeah.
Which would be perfect.
Catching up with him next week.
In regards to plants, Bree and I are trying to keep herbs alive.
Oh, yeah. How's that going?
It was difficult. The first time they died, and it was because Bree put the plant in the fridge.
Why?
I'm sorry.
Because she's like, got to keep it cold or whatever. I'm like, nah.
Beg your pardon?
It died. It died. And it was like, so that was like, it was a whole plant with like
in
a
the
pot
fridge.
In the fridge. I was just like, what are you doing? It's like, oh, I got to keep it cold. I'm like, no, I think next time let's put it in the sun. It needs sunlight.
I mean, I don't know a lot about plants, but
it doesn't seem right.
It doesn't go in
fridges
the fridge
for food.
I think
she said there's specific ones where it's like, oh, they need to stay cold.
But it's winter here at the moment.
But they survive outdoors. Spring,
With the sun, yeah. So I don't think that was confusing. That died. That was a Basil. And Brody just said Basil is just really hard to keep alive.
That's very limp.
Especially when you put it in the fridge.
Just
when you put
it in the fridge. Buy it.
No, but this is the problem. Basil is like the cost of Uber Eats delivery. Like, it's quite expensive.
I love that that was easier for you to say than $5.
Which
that's your benchmark for $5 Uber Eats delivery.
Yeah, no, it's true. Yesterday on Fat Fridays, we did the Monopoly, the McDonald's Monopoly.
Oh, yes. Oh. That is like childhood memories of that game.
But it's not like childhood. That's the thing, Pete.
Yeah.
It's not how it used to be.
Oh, okay.
Is it safe to assume you've not won anything?
No, we did.
Well, it's not Sundays. It's not fries. Remember how you had free cheeky. Yeah,
it was awesome.
Cheeky little cheeseburger. What are they called? Cheeseburger, yeah. Oh. Used to win so many things.
Yeah, free cheesies.
I never really did it.
Well, they used to take – it was very loose back in the day. You'd pass over your little voucher and they'd just throw them underneath the till.
Yeah.
Fucking loose hands over here, just sneak under.
Nice.
Pull back
take
through
it back.
A whole stack of – so I've got a sundae, I've got chippies.
Cheeky.
Two so cheeseburgers.
Naughty. Well done.
But then I even had friends who worked there that would hand them back to me.
So, oh, he's a bit of a scumbag like that.
There were these tiny little things.
Mate, I don't leave fucking rubbish at a TED Talk. That was on you, buddy.
I didn't bring the rubbish.
That's a rubbish.
That's a really good point, though, isn't it?
No, anyway. It's not actually that good.
So anyway.
Sorry I brought that up.
Yesterday.
I shot the guy in the head, but he gave me the fucking gun. Look.
Escalated.
That's what you said.
That's not what I said. No, but the Monopoly thing, a $20 Amazon voucher I won.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds good, right?
Sounds all right. I mean,
not really.
Well, because you had to.
What can you get?
Using a voucher is such a pain.
It is a pain. But this is the pain bit. True. So I thought $20 voucher, that's awesome. Minimum spend of $79.
What?
So for me, that doesn't really feel.
It's horrible.
Yeah. It's not ideal. Mm. So anyway, I feel like we did the whole thing on the show where we use the app. It's all very annoying.
They missed a 97.
Are they paying you to do that?
No.
Remember when you used to say no spend, no say?
No pay, no say.
But that's gone out.
It's going to change very soon though with advertising and things like that.
I know.
So that's exciting.
Yeah, that's good. What else is happening? The footy's on the grand final.
Are you excited, Gem?
I don't want to talk about
Please
it.
Please do.
Of
Go
you.
For it.
No, you I have can. My Richmond scarf in my bag, but I didn't want to rub it in here.
Rub it in for who? I mean, I don't
hey,
go for
it. For Geelong. It could have been them.
No, but you can't rub it in. There was just poor performance on the day.
It was a good match. Richmond were the better side.
Yeah. It wasn't really poor performance. Everyone played very well.
I felt that near... I think it was a three-quarter time where they really dropped the ball.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Is this just what Pete told you on your walk on Monday?
No. I watched it. They're starting to all combine. Mm. Did they play GWS?
No.
Who did GWS play?
Collingwood.
Yeah. They fucked up too.
Collingwood was fucked up. And then they punched out a heap of goals and then still couldn't get through GWS.
That was a good game, actually.
Do you think
GWS will actually win though now? Like, are they up against a much tougher side?
Yeah, they're up against it. It's Richmond's to lose is what I think.
Richmond's to lose. As what does that mean?
Like, they'll win it, but they'll be the ones that lose it.
Exactly.
If they lose it, it's on them. Like, they are the best.
My whole body has tensed up.
Yeah. I mean,
are you going?
No, we have an annual grand final day party at the Watts household.
Can't believe you're not going.
I know.
What's the drink of choice?
Oh, I'll be on the beers.
On the beers?
On the beers.
Is there a bowl of punch? Just kidding.
No, but what we do, when I was very little, they'd get me to walk around with like a hat and the pies and stuff on it.
Oh, that's so good.
Nice.
And now as an adult woman, I'm still doing it. But I'm like a shit-faced by the time the pies
Can you
come
take
around.
A photo so I can put it on the Instagram account?
How many people are coming over?
I have no idea.
Because Tommy lives close by.
Oh, yeah.
He does
come.
Too.
That's actually a great Should idea. Well, we've got some friends coming over for a spa. Because you know I've got the spa.
I do know you've got
How
the spa.
How is the spa?
Mate, I had a spa this morning.
Really?
I got up.
Before work?
I respect that.
Mate, so this is how it happens. I get up at 5:30. Pushed it to 5:40. Went downstairs, did some meditation. And I was like, I'm gonna have a spa. So I went out by myself. I just folded over half the spa. I didn't take off the full thing. Took, oh, just got nude, just nude in my spa.
So fucking
that is
good.
Incredible. Yeah,
I'm actually going to transition to meditation
in the spa. Yes.
In the spa, because your arms go weight. You know, there's their weightlessness. You're experiencing weightlessness. It's just floating, and so I'm just going to meditate in the spa.
But it doesn't cancel out a shower. You know that, yeah?
No, I go straight upstairs and rinse off.
And I just feel like you're the type of guy.
I hate a bath, but love a spa.
Yeah, that is.
But in fairness, the spa—it's not like the old school chemical spa. No. Like you don't
I know
get
this
out
because
smelling.
I did a drive by of your house and jumped the fence.
Did you really jump the fence?
No, I didn't. But I know exactly where it is. Drove right up.
Can you see the spa on Google Maps?
Oh, maybe.
Have those people with the hard rubbish in your street? Oh, is that gone?
God, it looked like someone.
It was like an entire house on the front.
Yeah, my thing was it's probably deceased estate.
Yeah, it would have to be the amount of stuff that was out in the front.
Or a hoarder
what sort
got
of stuff?
Kicked out.
Like did you take
everything?
Anything? Was there anything
name
good?
One thing.
I don't know. I didn't
TV?
Slow down. I was too busy.
There's an old piece of shit one there. It was like disgusting.
Couch?
Yeah.
Mattress?
Yeah.
Did you ever do this as a kid in like where you grew up?
He still doesn't.
Drive around looking at hard rubbish in those wealthy suburbs?
No. Nice. See,
you've spoken about it on the show before.
Yeah, Bondi. Yeah, I'm not trying to deny
okay,
it over
okay.
here.
Sorry.
But I'm saying Bulleen. No. Over in Bondi.
Oh,
they
right.
do heaps of hard rubbish, and I would be taking stuff and then selling it on the, you know, the North Sydney or
when
North
I was,
beaches.
Yeah, when I was at uni, we used to drive out to Toorak when it was hard rubbish and like get skis and stuff. Like
Jesus.
People would leave skis out there.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
The saddest day of my life was when I came home from a night out. So I was like 18 or 19 and my trampoline was on the front lawn with hard rubbish.
Dad. Put it out?
Yeah. I was like, I'm sorry. No one asked me about this. And they were like, you're a grown up. You don't use this anymore.
Did you drag it in? Like,
absolute dog.
Trampolines, very dangerous.
Yeah, this was a very, this
How
is from like 1998. So it's just
a love a good
exposed tramp. Springs.
Yes. That was all part of it though, wasn't it?
Exactly. Pinching the hair.
Yeah. The electric shock.
I mean,
we would have full on wrestling matches. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
You'd get on and it was like, you'd be doing, what is it, like coat hanging people?
Yeah.
That didn't happen for me.
The sprinkler underneath.
Just me
the
by
sprinkler
myself.
Sprinkler was amazing.
Yeah, that was the best.
It was
best.
Literally like, tag team. Do like tag team jump in. And
Amy said recently we should get Bodhi like the old school one, you know, have him learn.
What's an old school one?
An old school one actually has the springs. They're all springless now. Mm.
Yeah, and they've got walls and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, they're completely, like you cannot get your hand into the spring area.
Mm. Why would you want to give them an old school one?
So that they can have the resilience of our generation. Generation, which was how do you not bloody knacky yourself on the corner?
Yeah.
How do you not pinch your bum
Maybe
in the
don't
spring?
Put a seatbelt on him too. Just real resilience.
It seems
slightly irresponsible. I think there's probably
People are so soft these days.
There's a very good hill on Coonan Creek Trail that I think you should just put him on the bike.
He's a daredevil. He'll give it a crack.
Yeah. Mate, he'd love it.
What about a billy cart? What about the Daily Talk Show billy cart?
Oh, my God.
That's fun.
Billy carting,
old school. Did your dad build one? I could imagine him getting out there.
No, my mum knew that if we built one, it would be ridiculous and dangerous.
Okay.
And so, but
like good? But
our cousins, just ridiculous. And but our cousins had them. I just remember going down. You just remember the rope, and you'd be sort of maneuvering
rope,
that's
right. Hey, old school. Can you see
I
what
never
a Billy
had one? But I just mooched.
You don't
other
buy
people.
A Billy.
Yeah, I had a friend who had one.
Yeah.
Except
I
lived in a flat street, so it wasn't quite as exciting.
I live on top of the steepest hill.
Perfect. Yeah, that would have been great.
You said you don't buy a Billy car, but if you had a kid, you'd have to buy one.
No. I could.
Too
I
hard.
Could build a
too hard.
Isn't Blage building one right now?
Is he?
Oh, really?
I saw on his Instagram he's trying to build.
Oh, that would be great.
Could you look it up? Blush there's probably a Billy Cart business for lazy parents.
Get the Daily Talk Show logo on there to sponsor the Billy Cart.
I would love that. I think that would be great to have a Billy Cart.
What do they have in The Little Rascals in the last scene?
Yeah, I don't know. Mm. I don't know if I've seen Little Rascals.
I think they're go-karts.
I think they're on steroids.
I'm thinking of Cool Runnings, that first scene in Cool Runnings. That's definitely a Billy Cart.
That's a Billy Cart.
I'm going to pull this up. Just write in Billy Cart. B-I-L-L.
How have you not seen The Little Rascals?
I've seen Sandlot Kids many times.
Great movie.
The Little Rascals.
I remember the bit of the kid's hair.
Alfalfa.
But don't
remember my favourite film. No, Psycho's my favourite.
My Girl, I loved.
That broke my heart.
I'm scared, so scared of bees.
I'm not scared of anything.
Bees?
Nope. Just ventriloquist dummies.
It's very specific.
Yeah, it's called automatonophobia. It's a phobia of, yep. ventriloquist dummies and wax statues. But wax statues don't get me as much. But ventriloquist dummy, tears.
Isn't that interesting? The wax, what's the wax museum called?
Yeah, oh,
Two Swords.
Wax Works. Yeah.
Five months to go until the Upway Billy Cart race.
Woohoo! 5 months is a good amount.
Five months ago, it's on February 23rd, 2020, the big day. They've got sponsors.
Who's sponsoring?
Yeah, I don't know. It's Total Fire Band at the time. Mate, we could hook them up. 190 entries. So the entry cap is 190 entries.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of billy carts down one hill.
Man, this is good.
Chaos.
Hope it's in Australia.
Well, you said Upway?
Yeah, it looks. Yeah Upway.
Upway sounds.
But they got the .com. This is where you start thinking. UpwayBillyCartRace.com.
That's in Victoria. Main Street, Upway, Victoria, Australia.
Here we go.
What a beautiful producer.
You could.
What date is that?
He's amazing.
We could actually enter that. That's a good one.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's do that.
Yeah, no, this is happening. Yeah.
I think that'd be fun.
I think it'd be hilarious.
Entries open December 8th.
Who's the driver?
And you can practice on Coonuncrate Trail. Who do you push?
You know, Sebs, you've got to be the driver, surely.
I don't think I'm equipped to build something like this. Derek.
Oh, yeah.
Scooter Derek.
Scooter Derek.
He'll get the welder out.
He'd weld together. You should see the ones that are in there.
In his element.
Mate.
Do you think that they need a girl to stand at the starting line with the ribbon?
No, we need you to drive it. We need you to drive it.
Girls or whatever the fuck. What is that called?
Track girls.
Yeah, but, I could do that. Or
the you could be the checkered flag.
You could be I think you could be a driver.
I think I have one of those costumes.
What about a driver?
Would you drive it?
You're not scared of anything.
I can barely drive a car.
I know, but this you just sort of, we push.
It'd
and you
be
sort
pretty
of,
funny.
Oh, yeah. It'd be hilarious.
So would you do it?
Funny. Yeah, I'll do anything.
Okay, perfect. Do you think we could get Mecca to sponsor the car?
Probably.
I feel like there's definitely something there.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, great. So what date do we need to?
February 23rd, 2020.
But entries open the 8th of December.
And what does the entry look like? Is this where you're going to front up some cash?
$10.
Oh, $10.
I think we could all.
I reckon we can manage
it.
$2 each.
I want Big Pete to give it a good push.
I'll give it a push.
I can just imagine the legs.
Good legs.
Yeah.
You don't want me to drive it because it'd have to be the longest billy cart ever created.
I mean, it could be cool.
You'd be like the river. You'd be at the start and the end at the same time. Did you like that river reference? The metaphor.
Yeah.
You are the river.
I liked it.
Yeah, I sort of did. Yeah,
it makes a lot of sense when you think about it.
Yeah.
Good chat.
Yeah, that's really solid. So the post footy, depending on what happens.
What does that look like, Jim?
Yeah. So what happens if it goes bad? Mm-hmm. Tigers don't win. Will it actually put you in a bad mood?
Not for too long. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I don't sook about these things. Mm-hmm. I don't really sook about anything. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just a nice feeling to win, but right. I'll get over it pretty quickly.
What will you do if you win? Will you go? I remember Swan Street was fucked.
That's my worst nightmare. Mm. I'll just continue to drink at home.
The good news is if you lose, no one's going to care because GWS have about 3,000 supporters. Exactly. So it would be like nothing happened.
And also I will have already done my face paint Instagram post that morning. So,
right. So
I'm the real winner.
Are you doing full face paint?
Of course.
Yeah. The thing about if they – you could always spin it to go if they don't win, which they probably will win.
Don't.
That it's good for the AFL. It's good for the – they've been around
footy,
10 years the club has been around.
GWS has.
It's crazy, right?
I'm sure it was being 6 months. I'm sure they went halfway through the season they came in.
It's not a good song.
2009 was when they first started.
Mm.
Crazy.
Jesus. Do you remember the AFL days, footy days at school?
Mm.
Oh, I got a photo off my sister this morning. Her daughter, my niece, was dressed up. She's two. She was dressed up in full Geelong outfit. They had – footy colour day. Oh, daycare. Yeah, she
was pumped. That's so fun.
A daycare.
Yeah.
She was loving it. We probably.
My brother was such an attention seeker that he went for Port Adelaide.
More than you.
Yeah.
Jade. Port Adelaide colours are very beautiful.
Purple. Yeah, I love purple.
Mm, mm. Mm.
But the thing is that he picked.
The teal blue.
Yeah, I love teal.
It's so nice. Teal. Is it teal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a greeny blue?
Yeah.
Teal. No, Jake went for Port Adelaide because, they would get everyone around a circle and then your song would come on and you'd run around?
Oh, we didn't do that.
No, really? I
just walked around to everyone going, my grandpa won the premiership. What did your grandpa do?
He played for Richmond?
Yeah.
I knew this. 1943 when Jack Dyer was captain.
And so it was VFL back then.
Technically. Yeah, you could have like another job while you were playing.
Yeah, they're
footy.
All professionals outside of the football.
Not the money like it is now.
No.
And so and what did he do outside of being a superstar?
Oh, a trade of some sort. I have no idea.
Yeah, my dad employed a few he employed a Melbourne football club player back in the day, like before they could make enough cash.
Wow.
So he was a labourer for my dad, landscaping. Yeah. And then he'd play professional footy on the
It's like podcasting.
Yeah,
isn't it? Exactly. One day we'll be at the MCG.
In 10 years' time, you'll be like, remember when we used to have two jobs as well as podcasting?
And so what was the story that your family would always tell about your grandpa? What were the like the premiership stories?
They didn't really have any because mum's the youngest or the second youngest of seven. So he'd stopped playing when she was like a child. But then everyone in my family plays sport. Most of the men have played VFL. All of the girls played like state netball at a minimum. And
did you play? What did you?
No. I played netball in primary school, but I was just in it for like the mini skirts. that's not a word of a lie. And my mum was a really, really good netballer and she would be at the side of the court like, the ball is coming towards you. And I'm like, what do you mean?
Did you any other famous family?
No.
I mean, was he famous? Was your grandfather famous?
I mean,
back in the day,
maybe, probably not.
You got any famous people in your family?
My grandfather popularized hyperbaric chambers for use in sport. He was a sports doctor. So he was a sports doctor in the AFL, at the F1, at the cricket, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dad, if you're watching. and my uncle, so his son, he played footy for St Kilda and cricket for the MCC. So he's got his name and photo on the wall at the MCC.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah,
well, it's it gets you thinking like a claim to fame. What do you want your claim to fame be? Because whether you have kids or not, you know, like.
Yeah, what's Bodie going to say? Looking up, like, my dad used to do this.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
I don't know. He already knows what we do. Show him this.
This is pretty good.
The Daniel Talk Show.
As soon as you've got like a name or something on a wall, that's the dream.
A logo.
Well, Poppy's name's still on the locker at Pump Road. So I'm like.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Sick. Yeah, do you want to be famous? What do you want to be known for, Gemma?
I don't know. I actually have no idea. I'm a star.
Well, you're going to be a star of something.
I have a lot of star power. No, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think I have to be known for anything specific.
I think it's probably a good way to get clear on, like it doesn't have to be, I want to be a famous movie star, but it's like, what do people know you for? What do you think about that, Pete?
But do you think people care more if you can, like, I'm not planning on having kids, so I feel like maybe there's less of a feeling of like, because you're not going to have that moment of telling, like, your son telling the kids at school.
Yes, that's the byproduct of doing the thing. So you can still be like, oh, what do I want to be known for? What do I want to be famous for? Like,
yeah, it's like legacy.
Uncle.
Yeah,
legacy. Uncle.
Yeah.
Uncle Josh.
The cool uncle.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's what you want to strive for? Just the cool uncle?
The cool uncle. Well, that's why I give Bodie biscuits every time he comes in.
I just drop the Vogue profile into every conversation.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, well, Vogue Australia said Gemma Watts knows beauty and you'd be wise to take a word on it.
What would I know?
What about, like, is there one thing, though? Like, you could put it down to, like, if there's an achievement, it's like build something, have the biggest something.
Nah. I don't know. I don't think that far ahead. I liked what Zoe was saying. Like, as long as you're doing good work in the moment, then the rest is fine.
Yeah, I agree with that.
We're just monsters wanting the biggest podcast, biggest show in the world, the best.
The biscuit king.
But then I don't know, like, I don't know about just the word best because, like, you
the could, best biscuit king. Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah, I don't know. It just feels really lofty.
It's so subjective too.
Yeah.
But that's what almost makes it, what I love about best is because it's so subjective. And so then it's almost like the best version. So we can be the best podcast and show in the world based on the very specific thing that we're delivering, which is in Abbotsford on Ferguson Street with Tommy and Josh, who has a producer of Mr. 97. For that – we are the best in the world.
But unless then, there's like, someone down the road. Why does that title mean something to you?
It's more of a posture to go into situations with that in mind.
Okay.
So then what it's really saying, it's an external version of saying do the best that you can possibly do.
Yeah, okay.
It means it's like essentially the same thing.
Tricking yourself into it.
Yeah, I think that like self-talk, like it's the whole imposter syndrome thing, Pete. I reckon we limit our beliefs. So then if we make them a bit more external and say we want to be the world's best, then we will at the very least reach our limit, whatever that is.
Yeah, I think there's like a happy medium where I feel like self-help can be summarized as most people are capable of more than they realize. And so there's that tension of accepting that, acknowledging that and living that, but not getting so attached to success being the thing that's going to make you happy and the being the best is the thing that's going to make you happy. So it's like this dance. I know you love dance metaphors. It's this dance between the two.
Can we get the two-step at the end of the show?
We could do it as a boomerang.
Yeah.
I think there's there's tension between both is acknowledging that not creating limiting beliefs for yourself. So stepping into this idea that I could probably do more than I'm capable of, than I realize, but also not being so attached to, you know, once I've got success, whatever that means, then I'll be happy. Then I'll be excited. Then I'll do the next thing.
Well, that's not living in the present, is it? Mm. That's all.
Yeah.
But then there's also like, sorry.
Tommy wants to make a toast.
What's interesting though is if you don't have a clear thing that you're sort of going for, you end up doing something great or you put in all this work and something gets picked up as the thing that you're known for. Michael Bungay Stainer, we went to amazing day.
Yeah, that's
a
good
name. It's actually the last name I always fuck up. I say Stainer.
Stainer.
It's Stainer.
Stainer.
It's spelled S-T-A-N-I-E-R.
I'm more interested in the Bungay.
Yeah. Michael Bungay Stainer.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's a fucking great name.
That's the name. And he was working within a company that invented stuffed crust pizza. So like the crust stuffed.
And cheese usually, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Is it cheese?
Cheese stuffed crust.
Which I think he was trying to imply that was like he wasn't doing important work. But I started to clap. I was the only one in out of how many people were there? 80 people.
Yeah.
That was clapping. But anyway.
But I mean, I thought it was a cool fact and I'd like to be known for that, to be honest.
Fact, yeah.
I mean, he's done a lot of great other things. Mm. Sold 700,000 books. You know, like crazy achievements. But it's interesting to see, like, if you go on this journey to wherever you're going, there will be things along the way that end up being chosen by other people to say, hey, look at that. You're the guy that did that O-bike thing. You're the guy, whatever it is, right? Whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
And so then it's, what are you doing? Because if you get known for the MC gal.
Which is pretty much it. It's the beauty. It sounds really up myself, but in Melbourne, I'm definitely like at the top of my industry.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah.
So you've made that the thing that you want to be known for.
So you are the world's best person in Melbourne, like the Ferguson Street thing.
But I just don't think I need to be the best as long as I'm doing good work, which I fucking am.
Yeah, I think,
And you're confident about that, that's for sure, you know?
A little bit too
much. If we all took that confidence.
Well, we were talking the other day about perfect days. Pete's been able to do his perfect day here.
That was fun. I've been dying
because
tonight.
I did flag with everyone. Not one person has mentioned sex in their perfect day.
That is true. I mean, I'm focusing too much on my testicles.
I mentioned to you that it was just assumed. I didn't have to spell that out.
Okay. Well, in that case, I won't include it in my. it's just heavy
undertones of sex throughout her day.
Definitely.
But if you don't mention Chris.
You've
got to mention him.
Yeah. I'm glad you reminded me. Yeah, because everyone's sort of fucked up there.
What's your day? Go into a lot of detail.
Okay. It's like a red brick wall. It's so specific.
Yeah. And the next day I had the best day. Blue sky, brick wall.
I would wake up early but not be tired.
Mm.
That would be a nice thing.
Yeah. Like what's the deal about waking up? Is everyone tired at the moment?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I feel great.
Yeah, I'm good.
What about day to day? I mean, Pete's about to go away to New York.
I'm pretty religious with my sleep. It's like one thing I won't sacrifice, getting enough sleep.
Yeah, same. I love sleep. I would wake up, I'm going to say like maybe 6, mm-hmm. and then I would like to be near the beach, like go for a swim, because that would be nice.
Would the creek do it for you or no?
No, not even
what
close.
What is it? Kunang?
Kunang Creek has the highest concentration of E. coli in any Victorian waterway.
And so, E.
it coli. It is 9 times the safe swimming limit.
What's E. coli going to do to you?
Kill you.
It's not going to do anything good. No. A boy from my school, because we'd all walk home along the creek, he was like, I'm going to swim in it. He had to take a week off school.
Oh, my God.
He wasn't a good time.
Wow. Ear infection.
It's fucking funny.
What a story, though. What a story.
He's in the creek and I'm like, this is truly the worst idea anyone's
had. What were you thinking, buddy?
So it wasn't impressive.
So, yeah.
No, so you go to the beach.
So whereabouts? Swim.
Where? What suburb in Australia or the world?
I don't know.
Well, you can know, so just make it up, because then it's what you want.
Yeah, we need to be specific.
Okay, it would nice to be somewhere in Victoria, because later in my day I'm obviously want to see my friends and family. Mm. So
interesting.
Down the Mornington Peninsula, you got a beautiful little pad.
Yeah, I could do that.
Maybe Torquay.
It's the other side. It's a bit further. A bit further to get to.
Yeah, I don't really mind the location. Doesn't matter. I would go for a swim and then I'd come back and I'd have a really nice breakfast. I'd have some poachies, mm-hmm. maybe like some avo and.
Can I guess the drink?
Yeah.
A glass of orange juice.
I hate orange juice.
A long black.
Long black. Long black. Yeah.
Obviously.
You're perfect. Are we being serious when we say the long
actually,
black?
Actually, Pete and I have had a conversation about this behind your back.
Yeah.
Why? You really pushed back on, like, if someone's making the perfect coffee for you, why would you have a long black?
Mm. Well, I'm more of an iced, like, I had an iced latte this morning.
I don't understand the pushback on the long
black. No, I actually had a really good long black the other day. And long I was blacks, like,
yeah,
delicious.
I actually think I like a long black more than drip.
If you, because it's real, it's like a real, you
like get it had a little shot. Froth. I was almost like, guys, there's something else in here.
Yeah. But if you drink long blacks for 30 days, across November, October. So once moving into October,
a challenge?
You'd just be cool with it.
Yeah.
It would be like, yeah, that's a good coffee.
Also, right, just buzzing all the time. Yeah. Okay, so long
that's
black.
All I drink. And then.
Would it be in a little mug? When do they put long blacks in a little mug always?
Little mug? What do you mean?
I had a long black the other day.
It's just and a it was cafe, in a mug. However. So whatever size. If you go to a Bogan one, you'll get a bloody bowl.
Yeah.
If you go to a hipster one, you'll get this little thing that's like hard to pick up.
Yeah.
It's like a vase. It's like,
yeah. Whose fingers getting through that little handle?
Mate, not that thumb, that's for sure. Just hook it in.
I can't get this on the big Berwick one, just, you know, mugs either.
So anyway, so you get your long black, your eggs, beautiful.
Then,
get there.
You know what? This is going to sound so silly. I would have my hair and makeup done. I find that so relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
I would have that done.
At a shopping centre or what?
No. That would be coming to me.
Yes.
No, you know what? I'm going to scrap that. I'm going to have that later in the day because I'm going to do some work first.
You don't like working with makeup?
No, it's unnecessary if I'm just sitting at my computer.
What sort of work?
Does it feel
writing
sorry before?
Work.
Right.
And then maybe I would take one of my cameras out, like the old film ones.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, that would be fun. I enjoy doing that when it's not like for a client.
I'm just curious on the makeup thing. What's the feeling?
It's just very like, it's just.
No, but as you know, so when you're on your computer, you're like, oh, it's unnecessary to have makeup on.
Well, I'm not seeing anyone at this point.
But is it, so you would, if people couldn't see you, you wouldn't do the makeup. I guess that makes sense. Hmm. It doesn't feel nice on your face.
No, it feels fine. I just don't care. Mm-hmm. So I might do some work in the morning. And then I'd probably have lunch with Chris. I liked how you were like, maybe Chelsea's having her perfect day. And then I liked that idea.
That was a good integration, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. So maybe Chris is having his perfect day and then we have lunch together. Then
nice to assume that you're a part of his perfect day.
Look at me. Then I would like
But is Taco Bell open during the day?
I would do.
Perfect day. You can do what you want. You're a franchisee. Hey, boss.
I would go and do like a dance class or something.
Yeah.
In the afternoon, that would be fun.
Like bar?
No, probably jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Then,
like probably harder to find near the coast.
It's my perfect day.
There's dance schools everywhere nowadays.
Then I would come back. Then I would have my hair and makeup done. And then
at like 3:30.
Yeah. And then all of my friends would come over like early-ish afternoon, and then we'd have a big party, and there'd be dancing, and there'd be food, and there'd be drinks, and there'd be more dancing, and then it would wrap up early because we started early in the afternoon.
What's on tap?
Perfect.
Everything. Yeah. Everything except Ouzo, Sambuca. That's pretty much
it. You had bad experiences with them?
No, they're just, I don't like aniseed.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good day.
But a solid day.
Yeah, I just like to be around people.
And so then evening?
The party goes into the evening. It's
until like 8 p.m.
Longer.
You said early finish.
Yeah.
What time? 9:30?
No.
Anything
thinking
before 12 is early.
Yeah, exactly.
For nights out.
Yeah.
If you're starting though at like 2 p.m.
Yeah, that's fine. I love a day drink. Uh-huh. You start.
So the problem with this perfect day is what's different.
Mm.
Is that normally our perfect days are this sort of sustainable thing that we can do every single day? Mm.
I don't think that they are. Most of them have started with like I would do 1 hour of work and then I would swim.
But that's good. But I just don't know about the like getting your – you're having your perfect day.
It's my perfect day. Yeah. I can have a party.
No. But I just think getting – how many days in a row would you have the party with your friends before it would get old?
I don't know.
Three.
Okay.
So I get,
but that's how I recharge. Yeah, sure. Being around people. Okay. When I'm just in my own space, that's when I feel like I'm down.
So it could be because there is a bit of a culture of that in like Hollywood or successful singers. They just have sort of have an entourage and they'll pay them all. Mm. Would you? I feel like I could be like that when I'm older if I had a bunch of coin, just sort of to not have to worry about the whole friendship thing. Just like, hey, do you want to? What do you like doing? And they say, oh, I love driving. I'm so okay, well, you're the driver.
Oh, you'd have to. So the money's the equation here.
Like you need you've got a lot of cash. Basically paying your friends to do things for you.
But they're all happy because they're doing what they love as well.
Yeah,
so it's like, oh, yeah, I used to work at a really good restaurant and now I look after Josh's meals.
Yeah. Personal chef is so high on the priority list for me, a personal chef.
Really?
I've got Cadbury. I've got that sorted.
Cooking.
Yeah, yeah.
The personal chef, I would love that.
You love cooking?
Yeah, see, I for the party, I would be cooking everything. What? That's what I do.
Oh, no.
I love the
Would you have a grazing table?
Yes, of course. You must.
Charcuterie board of some sort?
Of course.
What's a charcuterie board?
Charcuteries.
It's like cured meats and cheeses
and dips.
You must. I didn't know
the name.
Yeah. So also cod dip. It's cod dip?
Cod dip.
Cob dip?
Oh,
yeah.
Cob loaf.
Filled with
that cheesy, oniony yumminess.
Yeah.
We should do one of those for Fat Friday.
I've absolutely ruined some of them. Like getting to the point, you know, because you're tearing it off.
Yeah.
To the point where it's just unneat.
Do you feel awful once you have that?
Oh, of course.
Like,
Drinking 17 beers as well.
True.
Are you, Josh mentioned you're going to quit drinking. You were thinking about it?
I've been noodling on it, thinking about it maybe. Yeah.
Drinking while you're thinking?
Yeah, I think I might have had a couple of wines when I was thinking about it. I was just like,
made you feel good about the thinking.
What's
about
it for? Like, why do I do it? Do I need to do it? And what would I gain by not doing it? I've been thinking about that for a while. Yeah. My brother's got a rule this year. He has been talking probably for like 10 years, I reckon, about not drinking because he went pretty hard growing up. And so he's got this rule with his partner now where they only are allowed to drink outside of Australia. So when they're on holiday, they'll have a wine.
He's a vagabond. He's travelled every
This year he's been a lot of places. Yeah, no. But
he bought Australia, a boat and he's off the mainland to drink.
But so they don't drink in Australia. But when they go on holiday, they're like, let's have a wine and that sort of thing. And I think that's a pretty cool rule. I like that.
I love that.
How are you going with it?
Yeah, really good. It's but I'm trying to work out I need a rule because I like that one. I've been thinking, 80-20 rule. Mm. And I was like, what's 80-20 on 365? Way too many days that I could drink.
Yeah.
What's the 80-20 rule on 52 weeks, which works out to be about 10?
It's the exact same equation.
No, it's not. No, it's not. So I'm just saying if I was only to ever drink on weekends, so I did every day and then I did 80-20 of it every day And so, what's 20% of 365? It's fucking 60 something days I could drink a year.
The weekend.
Which was like, that's too many because I don't want to drink.
Went the same
spot.
We
did. Yeah.
And then you go 52 weeks. Mm-hmm. And if I just go weekends, what's 80-20 rule of weekends?
Yeah, sure.
It becomes 10 or just a bit over 10. Just so I rounded it down to 10. And then I was like, yeah, I mean, that could work. Out of 10, I can drink only on weekends and it can be 10 occasions across the year.
Yeah,
or I can drink 10 times, doesn't matter when.
Yeah.
Only 10 times in a year.
We could do like only on Fridays or something like that.
So, yeah, and then there's 52. 52
potential, yeah, which is still a few.
But then I like that, the overseas rule.
Yeah, that's been his rule. So
the thing I don't like about the overseas rule is that you and I will do a lot of overseas stuff with the Daily Talk Show.
But it doesn't mean I'm getting fucked up.
It doesn't
up.
Mean you have to.
I was it's drinking, just, remember it was like I was drinking in Central Park. Some guy came up with the cervezas. Mm-hmm. What do you want one? I bought a little Corona, which was really nice.
Yeah.
So you get a
bit
of buzz.
Remember we had the blow up because you were really exhausted and all that sort of thing. And then we went to Chinese Tuxedo and you're like, man, I'm so fucked. And then Eddie Buckingham, lovely guy, was like, come on down for a drink. And then Tommy's all of a sudden, he was having a drink. And I was just like, mate, you were such a fucking sook and couldn't even do, you were saying you couldn't do it.
Well,
and
that's
now you're having the
about
drink.
Drinking is like,
get you up and about.
If you feel shit and you drink, you feel good. This is why people who feel shit about everything drink to feel good.
Yeah.
So it's like you can drink. It's a anti-anxiety medication.
I refuse to drink if I'm in a bad mood for that reason.
Well, because it'll make you feel good and that's not what you want.
Well, yeah, I just,
it numbs the.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems a bit dangerous to
me. No, of course it is.
I just drink if I'm in,
That's the thing. It can get you through. This is what it's
fortunately, I'm in a good mood most of the time.
So your point was you would only do it if you're tired and traveling.
No, my point is that you tried to say that, because, you know, I was shit and then I chose to drink. It's like. Yeah. It's actually an antidote to the bullshit you're feeling sometimes, but it's not good. So but it catches up with you.
Mm.
The thing is getting pissed is the problem.
Exactly, yes. Yeah.
Waking up feeling shit
it's
is
awful.
The problem.
Yeah.
And then no sleep. And then so it's like.
And the trickle down effect of like then you eat like shit, which means you feel like crap and you don't
everything.
Work out. And
it's super dangerous.
And so what's the what's the deal with wines? Because Brie and I will share a bottle of red wine.
Mm-hmm.
It's 8.8 standard drinks.
I'm not saying that I'm going to like upgrade that, but do people have two bottles in an evening? Is that what people do normally?
I could drink a bottle myself pretty easily. Same. But then the thing is.
Everyone's different. It's like what your body can
Well, Brie likes white wine. I'm not necessarily a fan.
It's gross. Unless it's hot.
Yeah.
Unless it's hot.
Yeah, not into it.
But it's got to be like something dry. I don't like a sweet
one. Oh, yeah. Sweet's rancid. But. If you're drinking a bottle by yourself, it's still 8. Like you can get a bottle into 2 glasses. Yeah. In
how
some,
many calories?
Some
how many calories are we talking?
Be shitloads. If there's, let's have a guess, and then we'll get Mr. 97 to pull it up.
Oh, I don't look at calories.
In a bottle. Yeah. So in a beer bottle, there's around 280 to 380 calories in a beer bottle.
I reckon 640 calories in a red wine.
604. Maybe more because of the grape.
Calories are probably the thing I care about least in life.
Really?
I think counting calories is like the most dangerous thing you can do.
A bottle of red wine calories.
You haven't seen me.
Which
in a buffet,
drop? Pinot is lower. I know that. It's lower in cows. So if you want to stick to Pinot,
what are we talking?
622.
Oh!
Wow.
Wait, how would you say?
Did I say 630 or 640?
You're pretty close.
Man, that's
close.
Good.
Yeah. What drop is that, Sebs? Does it say?
No, I just literally typed in calories.
Red wine.
Red wine.
I think it's red.
Yeah, but
it's solid. It's interesting. So that's.
I'm obsessed with calories.
Oh, it's literally.
You shouldn't
nothing
say.
Between
you
red
need
and
to
wine.
Get out of that.
Okay. It can be quite effective, though. Don't you think?
Is it effective?
Yeah. When I don't think about it, I always eat in excess. When I'm thinking about calories, I actually. End up like maintaining.
Yeah, but it's like a way to disordered eating.
Just eat when you want.
Who the fuck says that though? That's silly.
There's literally there's a diet.
Eat when I'm hungry.
Yeah, which is yeah.
It says
eat when you're hungry.
There's so many
dumb
people talking about diets.
Oh, so true.
Yeah, but I just don't think dieting is a good idea. Just make the right choices.
No, but that's like telling a heroin addict, just make the right choices. I'm a junkie.
I don't know. I just think it's.
It's a complete. I have more empathy for people with food addiction since hanging around Josh.
Sure.
Because you can see well, what him, is like, balance? You can see him physically change.
You see him at the cheesecake, like running out of the office yesterday.
Wow.
Tommy, did you had the
left.
No, bit. I didn't. But 97 left. To. 97 left. At there for an entire day, I put it in the bin.
Oh, I was going to have a little nibble this morning.
Look, I took the Maccas out, Josh. So.
Okay, there we go.
You like cheesecake?
Yeah, love it. Yeah. Love all cake. Most cake cakes.
Good, yeah, I had a chat to Craig Harper recently. And we had this conversation around what's the food you would eat all the time if you knew you were going to have no repercussions. And he was like, cheesecake, straight away. Yeah, just cheesecake.
Do you know the thing about people bringing cheesecakes to his talks?
Yeah, he was mentioning that, yeah.
They know it's his kryptonite and he doesn't open the door to cheesecake heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And so he keeps it closed because otherwise he'll blow out. So, but people would bring him, because you love cheesecake.
I got you a cheesecake.
Do you have a personal story around food or something that makes you get so upset about calories?
Yeah, absolutely. Like high school, I was obsessive.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have an eating disorder, but I was certainly like disordered eating is where I was
at. That's
what
Craig Harper says.
And so what
line. Most people don't have eating disorders, but they have disordered eating.
Yeah.
Disordered
eating. And so what does that mean?
Well, I just had a bit of body dysmorphia. I thought I was so fat. Now I look at photos from that time and I was not.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's different for
And so
girls,
there's orthorexia, which is the over healthy eating type of thing.
Mm.
But I feel like I'm so far away from
I wasn't doing that. I was just not eating.
Yeah.
Ballet will do that too.
And that's what this whole fasting culture does.
Yeah.
I was pretty pumped. I didn't have dinner last night. I had some strawberries.
And so this
but I knew that I was like at a calorie deficit.
Oh, yeah.
Why were you pumped?
Well, because I was like, I feel better. Like it, because food is such a, like when I got home, Brie had a course on. I was like, I'm going to fucking have Uber Eats. I'm going to fucking do it. And I thought about it. I was like, you're about to go to bed in 2 hours.
Mm.
Yeah.
You probably don't even need to eat something. And so I had some strawberries. It was all good.
But the fact that you're pumped about it.
I'm a bit fucked.
Yeah.
But what is
you
the.
You should maybe talk to someone about it.
You know, he's real about psychologists.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely not.
No, I didn't realize it was that bad.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, no, like I am. Yeah, food.
Yeah.
No, it's my one. Yeah, like my so much of my mood is based on what I've eaten.
Mm.
Yeah,
okay.
Mm. You should have just said food. It would have rhymed. So much of my mood is based on my food.
That would have been good. Yeah.
It's true though. I've done every diet. I did the I've done fasting. I've done the juice stuff, but I didn't like the juices, so I was drinking only orange juice.
Oh my god!
And I ended up after 7 days just with like cracked orange. I almost look like the Joker.
Jesus. My
it was not ideal.
I just don't let any of my girlfriends talk about weight around me. I just think it's.
And what are they saying?
They still will complain, but I just. Mm-hmm. No.
It's just like extreme anything is not healthy.
Yeah.
Like extreme, and in every context of life, like extreme eating one way is not healthy. Extreme eating the other way is not healthy. Extreme left in politics is not healthy. Extreme right in politics is not healthy. Extreme non-exercise is not healthy. Extreme over-exercising, like everything, nothing good comes from extremes.
But isn't the biggest myth that like balance is easy? Or like.
I don't think people are promoting balance as being easy. But they're
balance. No, but I think most people. I think balance is great. It's just balance. It requires balance.
Yeah, no,
and
balance
the thing is
hard.
It's like balance is like that is the whole thing. It's just like for some people they're like you have. I think for me it's about like segmenting it and saying I can only do balance if it's like I'm only eating bad food on these days, but then the rest of these days I'm only eating good food in quotation marks being. You know,
but I'm
getting into salads.
Yeah, but the 80-20 rule thing is like, that's not balanced on a percentage scale. It's not 50-50.
Yeah.
It's a rule. And so the thing is rules are great. Craig doesn't do it.
Yeah.
So if you implement a rule that takes away.
Rules.
Well, if you have a rule.
I hate them.
Well, a rule. Okay. Then another way of looking at it, a habit. Habit could be a rule. A rule.
Because the thing is, like we always talk about this, like not having a strategy is a strategy, whether you like it or not. So it's like if you go to Grilled and you don't get the chippies, that might be a win.
Why are you at Grilled?
Could they do delicious? No,
I mean, that's what I mean. Like, if you go on a grill, you have to get the chippies.
Yeah.
That's what grill's all
What's
about.
What's the point the chippies? Of grilled?
What, yeah, like, look, yeah. If you're trying to get lean, don't go grilled with this guy.
I love chippies.
You have to get chippies.
Which ones? The standard or the sweet potato?
Oh, good. That's tough. Depending on my mood.
You can the mix. We've like got both. The mix of three. Mm. Not enough
zucchini
of anything.
Zucchini ones aren't. Yeah. They don't do it for
I'm pretty sure the zucchini ones have more calories.
I douse them in the sauce.
The sweet pot has more calories.
Is that from the savvy dietitian?
You would hate the savvy dietitian Instagram. I absolutely love it, but she puts side by side of different foods just to give you a sense of the.
I mean, to calories. Each their own. I just know what triggers me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I used to be. I did Weight Watchers as a kid as well.
Oh my god.
What else?
But I mean, these things become a problem when your body's more predisposed to putting on weight than this guy.
Yeah.
Tall Gronk.
I can't put on weight. It's impossible.
Mate, you could eat triple Josh's bad diet of when he was a kid.
You'd feel like shit.
You'd feel like shit, but you wouldn't put on weight.
In America, I will eat way worse than I do when I'm in Melbourne. I won't exercise and I won't get as much sleep and I'll lose weight.
It's exactly the same as Chris.
It's bizarre.
They're built exactly
it's
the
so
same.
Annoying. It's really fucking annoying. And so you got to understand what it mentally does to a person
when that's their
experience. Yeah. So it's like, skinny people don't get the larger people do and vice versa.
Yeah.
And people trying to say, just go to the gym and put on some muscle. I'm like, I don't think you understand. Yeah. It's not quite that easy for me.
Which then is also the issue with diets, because unless somebody has tailored the diet specifically, and that's the thing with even the fasting thing, it's not sat down with somebody. It's just like, don't eat these hours and then start eating. It's like, it's one part of a huge equation.
Yeah. Mm. And most of the smart people that you hear in this space say, it is unique to each individual. There is no one diet that fits everyone. It's just a ridiculous notion that everyone has something unique about the way that they consume and digest food and how that makes them feel and react. And so there's just no one universal diet. So like, I've been to a nutritionist. I've got a personal plan on what looks and feels and makes me function in a high performing way. And, you know, Chelsea's the same. And I think that's a better approach than but everyone should be taking, you're doing paleo. Everyone should be fasting. Yeah. It just doesn't make sense.
But then that's what's weird about like culture and geography, because like, if you live in this area, you have these foods we all sort of, how are we making the decision? Like, it feels like there's the unconscious, which is just what's available to me.
There is living in Shepparton, fucking four McDonald's within the area of Shepparton.
KFC. Like,
there's a couple of KFCs.
Did you work out
Jack's?
The best Maccas out of the four, or are they all very consistent?
The one we went to was best.
Yeah, great.
The general rule I've heard that I like is if you shop on the outside of the supermarket, you'll do quite well. So like fruit and veg, a bit of dairy, some meat. And then I think like frozen berries and stuff on the other side.
So
keep on the outside of the supermarket and don't go inside those aisles.
But the annoying thing is the Tim Tams are inside.
Which is the point. Yeah.
Anyway, it's a daily talk show. Jem, you've sold out your...
Yeah, 45 seconds.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So you launched your live event and it sold out.
Yeah.
In 45 seconds.
That's outrageous.
I still can't really believe it. I had in my head... that because they went on sale at 10 o'clock in the morning and then I had to leave my house at 10 past 10 and then I was going to be back at midday and I was like, maybe I'll see like the first couple get sold and then I'll come back at midday and a few more might have sold.
10, yeah.
Yeah, 1 minute past 10, I'm getting messages from people that they've fucking gone.
I mean, what I found more impressive was Bree's ability to snag two tickets in that first 45 seconds. What a freak.
Well done.
So lucky, isn't it? That's what I talk about. Bree's very good with that sort of shit.
Onto that shit.
Like admin.
Unbelievable.
We'll get it done.
Just puts plants in the fridge though. That's something we've got to work on.
Yeah, the cooking in general.
Got strengths.
Yeah.
You got your weaknesses.
Yeah, exactly.
Does she not do cooking?
No, it's not a strength.
Careful.
But
she can get tickets to your live show.
She's amazing.
And she will do the Uber Eats orders on my behalf, which is an extra level of lazy on my end.
We're going to have a little shindig for the 500th episode. Mm, 500.
Yes, I have a different crown ready for that. I bought the expensive one
Can I
today.
Feel the...
Yes,
yeah.
Thank you.
Before, I mean, we haven't locked in all details, but if you are wanting to come, you need to show your interest by emailing hi@thedailytalkshow.com. Time to party in the subject.
Nice. It's time to party.
And tell them who it's your favourite character from the Daily Talk Show is.
Yeah, you can do that. But we just want to know if you'll come. It's in Melbourne. Coming? It's on the 29th of
Tuesday. The 29th of October.
29th of October.
That's Josh told me to save the date, and I was like, I had it saved from episode 400.
Yes. Anyway, any suggestions to a couple of incapable gronks? That's implied saying you're a gronk.
How do they sell out the event in 45 seconds? I mean,
we're not going to be selling tickets, so that's the first thing.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
So that makes it easy.
We've lowered the bar, but I mean, there's a lot more than just selling the tickets. You get it, like, to put on an event.
Well,
What sort of canapes? Oh, no,
think about us,
what
Taylor.
What kind of event?
Don't be the diet preacher. Be the specific, dietitian for the gronks.
For these gronks.
Yeah, so what's a tailored advice knowing that we're just absolute gronks?
Oh, see, I don't know.
That's a venue thing. Yeah. It's a venue thing and an alcohol thing.
Like,
whether
I've
you need
got security because it's a licensed venue. Mm.
And the venue has security all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. You're
arriving in a bulletproof car.
Yes.
And a red carpet.
Yeah.
Soft shell wear a rolly in it.
Yeah,
that was.
It's actually a tuk-tuk. No, what do you call them? What's it?
Yeah.
You love the name. New York City, you ride around in
Rickshaw.
Yeah, we're getting a rickshaw to ours. But any advice? What?
Well, okay. So I mean, I don't know your process, but for me, I'm just so visual. So when I was planning everything, I had a full mood board of every single element. Like,
we'll get on Pinterest.
Yeah, that's what I've done. Mm-hmm. But I've got a Pinterest board, and then you make Pinterest boards inside the Pinterest board. So mm-hmm. I have one for the flowers. I had one for the event in general.
Do you have balloons?
No, just flowers.
Oh, good.
Balloons are not on brand for Glow Journal.
Yeah.
Also. You just have to know what's on brand and what's not on brand.
Not good for penguins.
Mm.
Yeah, exactly.
Surprise and delight for us. Make it free. Mm.
They're not expecting much. Yeah.
They
just
come
collate
and it's like you've gone to a venue.
Yeah.
Something that you'd pay for.
There's a musical, musical performance, acoustic.
There'll be an acoustic. There'll be tattoo artist. There'll be.
I would love that. I want one so bad.
You
know,
the Daily Talk. Would you get the Daily Talk Show tattoo?
No.
What would you get? Let me guess. Little Grunk. Banana on your wrist.
No.
Why don't get it?
Some hieroglyphics along your arm. Yeah.
Oh no.
What's the banana?
Sorry. It's the other way. My friend. I know this girl who got what I thought was a banana. It was meant to be a half moon. It looked like a banana.
What's the half moon?
No.
I don't know, mate. Something horoscope. A little star, a little half moon.
No. What
you're like, nice
do you
banana.
Think I'm some little bitch?
I don't know, mate. You want to be the grid girl for our... You want to be the grid girl for our bloody billy cart race.
Yeah, but that feels on brand for Gem K Watts, just not for Go Journal. No, that's more on brand for old mate Wattsy.
Yeah, definitely.
I had that account.
What about Halloween?
Neglected.
What about Halloween themed?
Well, okay, so I love to dress as someone that had a costume 21st.
Mm-hmm. What did you dress up as?
It was a circus, so I was the ringleader, obviously. But other people don't like dressing up, so had a bucket at the door of all animal masks.
That's
and
a good
shit.
Idea.
It
remember
was
I
genius.
Mentioned that?
Yeah. I can't stand Halloween themed things. I don't know what it is. I just
well, I just don't understand Halloween
at all about.
We're
it.
In Australia.
Yeah, like the co-working space I'm at, like they don't do a Christmas party. Their big thing is the Halloween party. I'm just like, I just don't care.
This is Australia.
I just don't care. Exactly. I don't understand.
Yeah. But who would you go as?
I wouldn't go. I haven't been. I've been there the last 2 years and I don't go.
Yeah.
Just because I'm like, I just don't. Doesn't
to be honest, I don't love a sexy costume on Halloween. I think that defeats the purpose.
I've
got that costume.
You were a whole circle the other. What was that circle?
The sumo wrestler. That was a good costume because it was an around the world. I feel like you tried to wrap this up 15 minutes ago. I'm still talking. It was an around the world themed party. So everyone was like an air hostess, like a French maid. And then I came as a sumo wrestler.
Amazing.
Love it.
I've still got that. You press a button and it inflates.
Yeah, I mean, make it easy for the people coming because you've done is actually just said you're going to get $300 worth of goodies in a bag.
Yes.
And, I mean, I'm there.
I think we could do Halloween.
Yeah, we'll get there. Okay. You know what we really need to do? Lock the venue in.
Yeah.
Didn't you say it was confirmed?
No.
Are you 79?
I didn't say it was confirmed.
Are you 79? They confirmed.
Didn't say it was confirmed. I said I need to send them an email.
Josh told me it was confirmed.
We mentioned it on the show.
Yeah. But if you listen back.
I think Tommy, his words were, we're looking at AU7.
Exactly what
like
I said.
That.
Yeah, I exactly actually listened.
We're looking at the MCG as well.
I've been to an event there. It's a good venue.
It's a great venue.
Yeah. Anything else happening with you, Pete?
I'm flying out tomorrow, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
I'll see you guys in a few weeks.
Enjoy your trip. Make sure you get that two-step happening in New York.
I will. Yeah.
Send us a photo.
Visiting friends.
Going to do some Instagram posts.
Visiting friends.
Yeah, visiting friends. I might do a couple of Instagram posts.
Ross.
With me Jennifer. And my friends. Yep.
Sorry, Rachel.
So
but I fucked it.
Because I just did it. But I was like, oh, actually, I'm catching up with a Frank or Jen. So I thought you might have been, yeah.
Yeah. It's a Daily Talk Show. Hi at thedailytalkshow.com is the email address if you want to send us an email.
It's time to party in the subject line if you want to come to our live event.
Apple Podcast.
Who's your favorite character?
Apple Podcast reviews. People can leave a review if
they
like.
Going off. You guys have got heaps.
It is going well, actually. Mm. So that would be nice to continue.
I sometimes feel like I should remove my old one and leave a new one. So
I don't know if you can.
Just when you're in the Apple store, leave us a couple on all those devices.
I already did a year ago.
No, but as in go into an Apple store?
In a store. I thought you meant like...
No.
Okay.
Go to any sort of retailer with an iPhone.
Steal your mate's iPhone. I'm sure Chris has got an iPhone.
That. He does.
Yep. Old man Watsy.
No.
rocking?
Oh God, I don't know. He's basically got two polystyrene cups joined together with a string.
All right, leave us a review if you care to do so. We would love so.
Yeah, enjoy the football, guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Catch ya.